How do you do? Someone once wrote, "There must be a God, because this many bad things couldn't happen to me by accident." We'll introduce you to the man who wrote that and much more before he finally met up with that God, when his mind and heart and life were at last unshackled. Proclaiming the good news around the world, this is Unshackled, dramatizing true life stories of real people, produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. You've heard many stories on Unshackled about men and women sometimes referred to as down and out, people who had known only failure and despair until mission counselors shared the good news that they could have forgiveness for the past and hope for the future. In addition to the down-and-outers, we also want to reach out with that same message to the up-and-outers, those countless numbers who live in comfortable homes, drive nice cars, and have plenty of food on the table, but down inside are hurting terribly. In spite of their well-maintained outward appearances, they hunger desperately for the only bread that can take away that hunger, the manna from heaven, and we can give them that bread. Now broadcast around the earth, here is program number 2469 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
That script you wrote was so funny. How'd you come up with that stuff?
You know, sometimes it really just gets to me. The world is headed for a global disaster, and here I am writing sitcoms in Hollywood. I feel like the lounge entertainer on the Titanic.
For a television comedy writer, yeah, you can be real depressing.
The man whose story we have to tell was born during the Second World War to a Jewish family living just north of Des Moines, Iowa. Listen with us to the true story of young writer-to-be Joe Glauberg.
I grew up in the Jewish section of White Oak, Iowa. Actually, my family was the Jewish section. In fact, my father, mother, and two older brothers, along with myself, made up almost a quarter of the entire population, depending on who was renting the house next to the bus barn. My father bought the grocery store in White Oak just after the war when I was two. He brought us there from Seattle. That's where I was born while my dad was working as an engineer in the shipyards during the war. Even as a kid, I was always looking for ways to make a buck, or even a quarter.
Who's there?
It's me, Joe.
Why, it's little Joey from down at the store. What you got under your arm?
I'm selling stuff. Here, take a look.
Why, ain't they pretty? Look at that, Buford.
Oh, what's he got?
They're little pictures with saying from the Bible. Listen to this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:16. Ain't that nice?
Yeah, that one's 75 cents.
Well, it ain't that nice. And what's a little Jew boy doing selling stuff about Jesus?
I don't read them, I just sell them.
Well, does your folks know what you're doing?
Let's see, you got any of the Beatitudes there?
I don't even know what those are, but if you find something you like, I'll give you a discount. I think Buford could use some religion.
I found that Buford wasn't the only one in White Oak who didn't really understand what a Jew was. My little friend Sharon was trying to figure the whole thing out, too, but I wasn't much help.
Mom says you're selling Christian stuff.
It's not Christian stuff. They're just plaques.
Well, how come Jews don't believe in Jesus?
Well, see, he was just a man, you know, like a teacher.
But he was God's son.
What is with everybody? All I'm trying to do is sell a few plaques here.
We ran the White Oak store and gas station where I worked as clerk and gas pump jockey in addition to side jobs ranging from detasseling corn to mowing the White Oak Cemetery. About the only thing the White Oak store didn't have was indoor plumbing. That wasn't really my main problem, though.
Here, have some chicken soup. You'll feel better.
Mom, I'm not sick. I just feel bad.
You know what they're calling me at school?
Here, have some gefilte fish. Your Uncle Harry made it fresh last week.
Those girls called me a dirty Jew.
Don't let it bother you. Those little shiksas don't even know what a Jew is.
Really? That makes me feel a little better.
Good. Here, have an extra blintz.
Mom, what is a Jew?
First you'll eat, then we'll talk.
I was never real good at figuring out what a Jew was, but I was pretty good at science and math. I wanted to someday become a scientist and find a way of saving the world from what seemed to be an approaching ecological catastrophe. Then I had a strange conversation with my science teacher, who happened to be doubling as a speech contest coach.
Oh, you were really funny tonight. You know, the judges couldn't stop laughing long enough to write down any comments.
You know, I've been thinking maybe I can develop some economical way of turning seawater into drinking water.
Now, why would you want to do that?
Haven't you heard about the big water shortage? If I'm going to be a scientist, I have to do something to help save the Earth.
You? A scientist? No, I don't think so.
You know I love science. I get straight A's. What else would I be?
Joe, you'll never be a scientist. You got show business in your blood.
I'll get a transfusion.
See what I mean? You don't want to be a scientist. Trust me.
But the world is in such terrible shape. And it's getting worse by the minute. Famine's everywhere. And have you read Malthus' work on overpopulation? I don't believe this. Here I am, studying to be a scientist and help save the planet, and my science teacher is telling me to go into show business. You want me to tell jokes while the world is headed for total disaster?
I'm just saying you should think about it.
You really think I could make it in show business? From that point on, my sights were set on comedy, which tells you how strong my commitment to science had been. But the Vietnam conflict was escalating, and college seemed to be my only refuge from the draft. After drifting through 5 years of my own form of academic quagmire and finally getting a degree in journalism, guess what? The war was still going on. It was almost as though they'd kept it going just so that little Joey Glauberg wouldn't get off the hook with his college deferment. But I was determined not to give in easily, regardless of any advice from my brother.
Dad said you got your draft notice.
Yeah, you believe that? 5 years of college down the tubes. You'd think I'd be smart enough with all that education to keep out of the jungle. Maybe I should have majored in Vietnamese.
You ought to just join the Navy like me and Jeff.
That was in the 50s. You guys were like tourists. I'd be cannon fodder.
Oh, not in the Navy. You'd be on a ship. What's a couple of years on a ship?
They won't take me in the Navy for less than 4 years. I've been thinking a lot about this. I'm going to maybe just cut off one of my toes.
You're kidding.
Yeah, I was going back and forth between a finger and a toe, but if I decide to be a writer later on, I might need all my fingers. But how could I ever march with 9 toes? That's the beauty of it. They'd never take me like that.
Joe, look, just join the Navy, so it'll be 4 years, but you're not going to get shot up on board a destroyer.
I mean, I probably wouldn't even miss it. Then maybe later on I could get a prosthetic toe.
A prosthetic toe?
Sure. Better a toe now than my whole body over in the jungle. Hey, I could still be just as good a writer with 9 toes. Some people write without feet. I might be able to freeze it and reattach it later. Now, there's a great idea. Who'd ever know? Except maybe my podiatrist. Well, I decided not to cut off my toe, and I joined the Navy like my brother suggested. I went through basic training at Great Lakes Naval Training Center. Then I applied for officer candidate school and got accepted. I think my father was more excited than I was.
That's terrific. You're going to be an officer in the United States Navy.
Yeah, but that's 3 more years I got to do after I get my commission, if I get my commission. What's so good about it?
Well, I guess maybe it just seems like a big thing to me. I mean, see, in my day, they just didn't let Jews become officers, not in the Navy.
You think they'll kick me out when they find out I'm Jewish?
You didn't tell them?
I'm kidding.
I'm an old person. Don't do that.
Jew or not, OCS was not my idea of a good time. But I finally got my commission and was assigned to the North Island Naval Air Station as public affairs officer. The closest I got to the jungle was the San Diego Zoo. It was during my time in San Diego as a naval officer that I began to experience what I recall as my first real severe bouts of depression. I read books on psychoanalysis by Jung and others, trying to figure out why I was so depressed. I even contemplated suicide, but that seemed an even bigger waste of a college education than the Navy. I even tried meditating. I remember sitting in my apartment in Ocean Beach, staring at a candle. One night, a knock came at the door. Who is it?
Oh, hi. I'm just giving out these little booklets.
Let's see. What's this? Let not your heart be troubled, John 14:27.
Yeah, it's got Bible verses. That one's from John.
Who's John?
The Apostle John. He wrote part of the Bible.
Oh, right. Yeah, that John, yeah. Well, how much are they?
Well, they're free.
Really? You think I could get another 50? Just kidding. Hey, thanks a lot.
You're welcome. God bless you.
This is good. Let's see. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. John 14:27. See what else here. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. Isaiah 53:5. No, that's about Christ. I better skip that one. Let's see. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. That's good. I like that one. I kept repeating that verse over and over. Somehow it helped me through the rest of my time in the Navy. It seemed like I was always waiting. Now at least I began to feel as though I were waiting on God, and even though I didn't really understand what that meant, it made me feel better.
In a moment, we'll find out what happened to Joe after the Navy. You don't have to be in the Navy to understand the importance of a lighthouse. We've seen a lot of shipwrecked souls, and we thank God we're able to help so many of them. That's why Pacific Garden Mission has been called the Old Lighthouse. Such vast numbers of men, women, and children are thrown around by the angry waves of divorce, financial ruin, alcohol, and drug abuse. They'd be completely lost forever if there wasn't a beacon of hope. And Pacific Garden Mission is one of those beacons, and a very bright one at that. For more than a century, we've helped rescue not only sailors and soldiers, but countless other shipwrecked individuals with food, clothing, and a place to stay. We provide a kind of safe harbor where they can find shelter until the storm in their lives blows over and they learn more about the only captain who can pilot them safely home. To learn more about this important ministry, write to Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
I was released from active duty in 1970. I'd saved up my money so I could take my time trying to get into comedy. I went to Los Angeles and got a one-room apartment just off the Sunset Strip and joined a comedy workshop which met one night a week in a producer's home in Beverly Hills. It was a good place for me to try out new material I'd written. I was coming home the other night. I don't know what time it was, but it was so late the day and night market was closed. It was easy to get laughs in the workshop where I was among friends, but going in front of a nightclub audience was a different matter altogether. I was terrified. I decided to stick with writing and steer away from stand-up comedy. It wasn't long after that my material got to one of the top comedy producers in Hollywood. He liked it, and soon I was writing for a popular television comedy series. I was doing well in terms of worldly success, but still pursuing answers through metaphysical studies. I was getting pretty good at writing those treatments or affirmations or whatever they were, but my friend thought I was just plain nuts. I am one with the universe, and the perfect peace of that one mind is flowing through me right now. I am that perfect peace, and so it is.
What kind of double talk gibberish is that? You shouldn't be fooling around with that oddball nonsense. You've got such a great religion.
How would you know? You're not even Jewish.
Well, maybe not, but I've got a lot of Jewish friends, and I always wished I could be Jewish.
Well, it's too late. You've got to be born Jewish, and you're obviously past that stage. Frankly, I'd just as soon not have been born Jewish, but it's too late for me, too. Besides, this positive affirmation stuff works for me. I've got a good job, a decent car, and a lot more peace than you've got, so get off my back. There you have it. I'd convinced myself I was a man brimming over with peace. And actually, things were going pretty well. Then I met Anne. She was a wardrobe lady on one of the shows I was writing for. I'm not sure what attracted me so much to her, but Anne always seemed so bright-eyed and bubbly. I just enjoyed being around her and talking to her. Then one day I learned that she was in the hospital. I decided to go visit her. Hey, put down that book. You got a visitor.
Well, I don't believe it. What are you doing here?
I came to see you. The question should be, what are you doing here?
Oh, it was so stupid. I was coming down some steps and my ankle just turned under me. They said I broke a bone in my foot. But I think I just needed to slow down. I've been able to catch up on my reading.
You know, you always have such a positive way of looking at things.
I believe that's the best way to look at them.
You know, I'm kind of that way myself. I guess that's why I like talking to you. I used to be really negative.
Oh, it's very easy to get that way.
Tell me about it. I was going to be a scientist at one time.
Is this one of your jokes?
Yeah, it seems like it, I suppose. I kept looking around and seeing the pollution and the environmental nightmare I knew had to be coming. But now I've become a lot more positive about things.
You know, there's a book you really ought to read. It discusses all those things you were so worried about, and it's all based on Bible prophecy.
Really? What's supposed to happen? Is the world going to end or what?
Well, things are going to get a lot worse. You really should read it. I'm sure you'd like it.
Not long after my conversation with Anne, I picked up a copy of the book she'd told me about. I was stunned by what I read. I learned about events going on all around me, clearly referred to thousands of years earlier in both the Old and New Testaments. I just couldn't quite make sense of it, but it definitely got me to thinking. I decided to give Anne a call.
Hello?
Anne, it's Joe Glauberg, remember me?
Well, if you aren't a voice from the past, how are you?
I guess I'm okay, but the main reason I'm calling is that book you told me about on Bible prophecy. I think you got me into something, and you gotta get me out. I appreciate your inviting me over. I know I sounded a little weird on the phone, but the more I got to thinking about this Bible prophecy stuff, the more scared I got. I mean, I've got some major problems here.
Like what?
Well, for the last couple of weeks, ever since I read that book, I've been thinking, this is great. All these things that I thought were the final steps to the end of civilization are apparently just part of God's plan.
I know. Isn't it exciting? It just gives me goosebumps.
Yeah, okay, but that's great. But see, apparently, well, Jesus is coming back at the end of all these wars and stuff.
Well, I know. That's the best part.
Maybe so, but that's part of my problem. See, I was kind of excited about him coming back, and then the reality of it occurred to me. When Jesus comes back, some of the people are going to be on his side and some aren't, right?
That's right.
Okay, well, see, I don't think I'm on his side. You see how that could be a problem?
But it doesn't have to be. All you have to do is turn your life over to him and trust him as your Lord and Savior.
Okay. Now I know this is going to sound real stupid, but see, I'm Jewish.
So?
Well, I was always taught that Jews don't believe in Jesus.
Jesus was a Jew? He came expressly for the Jews. All his first disciples were Jewish. What's more Jewish than believing in Jesus?
I never thought of that. But why do all the rabbis teach against believing in him? If he was the Messiah, wouldn't they know it?
Well, you'd think so, wouldn't you? But see, God knew all about that. The Old Testament teaches that the Messiah will be rejected by his own people, right here in Isaiah. Listen to chapter 8, verse 14. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling, and for a rock of offense to both houses of Israel. Isaiah was even led by the Spirit of God to pray in chapter 6, verse 10. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed.
Wow. Well, I didn't... Anne, I just don't know. There are so many things that just don't make sense to me. This is a big step, you know.
Oh, a very big step.
Because if God is in control of everything, and Jesus Christ is his son, then I'm going to have to follow him and do what he says. So I got to be sure about this.
Well, while you're thinking it over, can I give you a little more to think about?
Yeah, sure.
You can try to figure out God all you want, and we all try it. But there comes a time when you've got to turn off that little reasoning switch in your head and make that last final step by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us, "Without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him."
What Anne said about that step of faith somehow made sense to me as I considered what I should do. A short time later, we prayed together, and I received Christ as Messiah and Savior. I was no longer worried about world events that still seemed to be propelling us toward cataclysmic disaster because I knew they're all part of God's plan, devised before he created the universe. Also, I'd always been troubled by the notion that we only go around once in this life, and I seemed to be blowing my one shot. But now I learned to be content with God's direction for my life. I guess maybe you expect me to say that I've lived happily ever after that day in 1973. Well, not exactly. I was born again and knew I had eternal life, but as a new baby in the Lord, I had to learn a lot of lessons that didn't come easily. I realized that pretty quickly when I ventured back into the television comedy writing environment I'd been so happy to leave only a couple of years earlier. I remember a strange conversation I had with the head writer. One of many strange conversations.
Hey, Glomber, come in here a minute. You just got to help me out.
What do you need?
Well, you know a lot of that stuff Christ said, right?
A fair amount. Why?
Well, I need to ask you a question. See, us Jews don't know much about that stuff.
I'm Jewish.
I thought you believed in Jesus.
Well, I do, but that doesn't mean I'm not Jewish. I just happen to be a Jew that believes in Jesus as the Messiah. So now I'm a completed Jew.
Yeah? So tell me, is it okay in your religion to smoke marijuana?
That's what you called me in here to ask me?
No, but as long as we're talking about your religion, I was just curious. I know you don't like hearing dirty jokes, so where do you stand on smoking pot?
Well, first of all, it's not a religion. It's a personal relationship with God.
Maybe so, but if you don't believe in smoking marijuana, I don't want to hear about it. Besides, that's not why I called you in here. What was that thing Christ said about building mansions or something? How does that go?
In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. That's in John 14, verse 2 and 3.
Yeah, that's it. Thanks.
Sure, no problem. Say, mind if I ask why you wanted to know that?
Well, I'm doing a script with our big star in the hospital, and he thinks he's going to die, and I wanted the nurse to say something to make him feel better.
Are you serious?
Mm-hmm.
Lenny, this guy's never going to see the inside of one of those places. He might be a big star, but if he dies without Christ, he's headed straight for the lake of fire, eternal damnation.
Yeah, but that ain't something you tell a person when you want to make him feel better, when he's about to die.
Lenny, what better time to tell him? After he's dead, it's too late. Fortunately, some Jewish people were easier to talk to about Christ. Take my friend Steve. He was a stand-up comic on a lot of the top comedy variety shows. I hadn't seen him for a couple of years. One day he called.
Joe, it was so strange. The other day, I was meditating over at the self-realization place, and you came into my mind.
No kidding.
I remember you were real interested in religion. See, that's all I want to talk about anymore. And it makes people really uncomfortable, you know?
Steve and I soon got together, and I learned what his problems were. He talked a lot about religion, but not about Christ. His mind was so confused when I talked to him about being born again, he thought he already was quite a number of times, in fact. So, Steve, you're born again and you're following Jesus, right?
No question about it.
Okay, so tell me, do you know what he said, what he taught?
Well, some.
All right, now, if you're following someone you believe to be God and entrusting him with your eternal destiny, wouldn't you want to know everything he said, especially if it's all been written down somewhere?
Well, I guess so.
Well, I got a Bible for you. You should begin to read it so that you'll know for yourself everything that Jesus taught. In a short time, he'd read the first four books of the New Testament and was into the book of Acts. The amazing part was that he still thought he was born again, but I knew he wasn't. I tried several times to get him to pray with me to receive Christ, but he wouldn't do it. Then one day, I got a phone call, and I could tell something was different.
Yeah, Joe, it was real strange. You see, I was putting gas in my car, and I looked down, and there was this little booklet on the ground. Well, it told all about God's spiritual laws. There was even a little prayer in it.
So, did you pray the prayer?
Oh, yeah. And according to what it said, I'm born again, this time for sure. I guess this is what you tried to get me to understand all along, right?
As the Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And so it was with Steve. Maybe a seed has been planted in your life through the hearing of this broadcast. Although I went on to become creator of a hit television series and write a lot more scripts, secular as well as evangelical, I think the one you've just heard is the best of all. Why? Simply because it's the story of what Jesus Christ has done in my life, and I think that's the best story any of us can tell.
Friend, we'd like for you to accept Jesus as your Savior, just like Joe and Steve. Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Verse 13 declares, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you realize your need for salvation and would like to talk with someone, please get in touch with Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-922-1462. If you listen in the Philippines, you may address Unshackled in care of the Pacific Mission, P.O. Box 1467, Manila. If these stories brighten your day, tell the manager of this station so they will continue to broadcast them. Invite your friends to listen, too. And last but not least, drop us a line by mail or email to say thanks for Unshackled. This is program number 2469. Heard in the true story of Joe Glauberg were Kate McClanahan, Rick Plastina, Belinda Bremner, Joanne Silvestrick, Guy Barrill, David Mink, and Joe Glauberg as himself. Original music, Lucille Becker. Sound, Nick Aloisio. Engineer, Ed Webb. Script, Joe Glauberg. And I'm Thomas McElroy. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. Write today. We look forward to hearing from you. That's Pacific Garden Mission, Chicago, Illinois, 60605. Feeling overwhelmed? Call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-922-1462. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-922-1462.